praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. In 1924, Witness Lee was dynamically saved by the Lord as a young man in his native China, and he promptly consecrated the rest of his life to the gospel. He co-labored with Watchman Nee for parts of the next three decades, and in 1962, Witness Lee was led by the Lord to come to the United States. During his 35 years of service to the Lord in America, he ministered in weekly meetings and weekend conferences, delivering thousands of spoken messages. Much of his speaking has since been published as more than 400 titles, many of which have been translated into numerous foreign languages. He gave his last public conference in February 1997 at the age of 91. We're happy today to be able to bring you recorded excerpts from his speaking and encourage you to contact us if you have any further questions or comments. Please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. The record given in Exodus is very detailed about many spiritual matters, like the service of the Old Testament priesthood. Chapter 29, in fact, begins this way, "And this is what you shall do to them, to sanctify them, to serve me as priests." And the following verses give item after item of instructions. But nowhere in the New Testament do we find such an account of how to sanctify the New Testament priests, or even how to serve as a New Testament priest. Yet, the Bible clearly tells us that all of the believers in Christ are the real priests. Stay with us today for this Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Dick Taylor is with us once again today. Brother Dick, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Brother Chris. I feel very privileged to be here.
Dick, in order to get into the real spiritual significance or importance of this portion of Exodus, we need to be clear about one thing, and that is the universal priesthood of all the believers. What does this term mean, Dick, and how do we know that in God's plan all of us are actually included?
This means that God's desire is that every one of us would be a serving one. Every one of us would be enjoyers of God's Son and even satisfying God with many, many offerings of the Christ we've enjoyed. God's desire is not to have two groups of people, one called a laity and some others who are kind of dominating and ruling over them. But God's desire is that all believers could function in a very healthy way, enjoying Christ, being filled with Christ, and offering many spiritual sacrifices of Christ to God for God's satisfaction. So God's desire is that all would be priests. 1 Peter 2:5 is a very clear verse that says, "You yourselves are a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Also in verse 9 of the same chapter of Peter, it also says, "You're a royal priesthood." And we're here to tell out the virtues of Christ. Our service is to be filled with Christ, serve Christ to God, and dispense Christ to humanity. Tell out all the virtues of this Christ. And then in Revelation also 1:6, and also in 5:10, and again it says, "You are a kingdom, priests to God and to his Father. To him be glory forever and ever." And I appreciate, Chris, unless all the believers are priests who contact God, enjoy God, serve God, and dispense God to others, you know what happens? God does not get to glory. That means God does not get expressed. God desires a body for Christ. That body is composed of all the believers who are really genuine priests for God's economy.
Dick, we're going to come back to a portion in this coming speaking by Witness Lee, and it deals with the so-called ordination or consecration of the priests and what that really means. It's not the religious lofty term that maybe we think of when we hear this kind of speaking. I think that there's a real treat in store for our listeners to find out what it means to be consecrated, to be a priest to God.
Amen.
Let's join Witness Lee, Dick.
According to New Testament, the universal priesthood that all the believers, regardless you are great or small, old and young, experienced or new, you all are priests. in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in Revelation chapter 1 and 5, we are told definitely we are priests. To be God's priest is our birthright. Yet, to read the New Testament, you cannot find a word to tell you how could you be a priest. The most you can know through the New Testament is that you are saved, you are blood washed, you are spirit regenerated, and you are gifted. Now, you are a priest. This is a chapter to sanctify Aaron and his sons to be God's priests. Exodus chapter 29, verse 1 says, Moses, you sanctify Aaron and his sons to be priests to serve me. Oh, this word, consecrate, this is a traditional word. This is a word that influenced us to have the wrong concept concerning the sanctification of God saved people to be God's priests. Not to consecrate, but to sanctify. What is the way revealed to us in chapter 29 of Exodus? That is to fill the hinds with a piece of bread, with a cake, with a wafer, with the fat, F-A-T. All the sweet part of the second ram for the peace offering. And now God's priest, his hand is filled with all the riches of Christ. Amen. Now he's different from all of you because you all are empty-handed. But he is full of Christ in his two hands. Now he's sanctified. He can serve God as a priest.
Well, Dick, the unique qualification to be the priest to God has to be found in the Old Testament, because the New Testament tells us that all the believers are the priests, but nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us how to be the priests. The major clue here in Exodus is that the consecration or ordination, as that word is sometimes translated in Exodus 29, verse 9, really means that the priests have to have their hands full. What does this mean for us, Dick, if we want to function as the real priest to God in the New Testament?
It's good, like you said, Chris, that being a priest is not a matter of quote-unquote official ordination, but it's a matter of being sanctified. And sanctified, as we see in this broadcast, means specifically that our hands are filled with Christ. This means our daily living is one that's wrapped up with the enjoyment of Christ, with all of his sweetness, and with all of his unsearchable riches. Our daily life should be the life of a priest. In the priesthood, we just identify with this Christ, we eat this Christ, we love this Christ, make room in our hearts every day to gain more of this Christ, and then we have the reality of this verse in Exodus. Our hands are filled with Christ. You know what God loves to eat? He loves to eat Christ. You know what people need? They need Christ. So we, to be priests, is to really experience and enjoy Christ till our being is saturated and permeated with him. He's typified by the animals in Exodus 29. And he's also typified by the vegetable life, the wafers and the bread and the cakes. He's also the generating one. So he's the redeeming Christ to take care of our negative side. He's the generating Christ to fill us with all of his riches and even to make us his reproduction. Every morning we should enjoy the reality of Exodus. We lay our hands on Christ as the real sin offering and enjoy the freshness of sin being taken away. But the Lord doesn't stop there. He's also the generating life, signified by the bread and the wafers and the cakes. And this means he's inside of us, making us just the same as him. So this Christ is just unsearchably rich. not only on the side of redemption, but also on the side of life, so that we are not only clean, but we are also filled. We're reconstituted to the point where we become the same as He is in life and nature for His expression. So this is what it means to be genuinely ordained. It means to be sanctified by having our being saturated with Christ. When our hands are full of the riches and sweetness of Christ, Chris, God satisfied and man is supplied. This is what it means to be sanctified as a priest.
This sanctifying element includes the washing, and it includes the garment, which is Christ as our righteousness that we receive the moment that we're redeemed or saved.
That's
and
right.
Accept Christ. But it also includes, and even its essence, is the food that the priests ate.
That's right.
It was really the enjoyment of Christ as the food, the bread of life that satisfies both man and God. This is really the sanctifying element in its deepest sense. Dick, let's go back to Witness Lee.
The sanctified one was a saint already. Aaron passed through the Passover. He was saved. Not only from God's judgment, he was also delivered from the possession of the world. He was saved, he was brought out of Egypt, and he experienced a lot of things of God in the wilderness, and he was very much taught, educated among Sinai. He was a saint with all the other children of Israel. They were all delivered out of Egypt. They were all traveling through so many things of God. They were all trained among Sinai. But they were all the same. But now the Lord told Moses to sanctify some of them to be what? Priests. Just to be a saint is not sufficient. After being a saint, you need to be sanctified, that you may be a priest to God. This is not to enjoy Christ as the Passover. This is not to enjoy Christ as manna. And this is not to enjoy the Spirit of Christ as the living water. This is something in addition to those precious experiences. It's not ordination. It's not a consecration. It's kind of filling up of your hand. You need to be filled up. Not just to enjoy Christ at the Passover, as manna, as the living water.
Right.
You need some additional experience of Christ. A practical priest to serve God. From Exodus chapter 29. We can experience Christ as something in addition to the Passover, in addition to the manna, in addition to the rock. We can experience Christ as the bull, as the two rams, with three kinds of cakes. One, unleavened bread, and one, thin perforated cake, and when unleavened wafer. Three different cakes. Very meaningful. By such experiences of Christ, we become practically the serving priests.
Dick, all believers, as part of their initial salvation experience, have experienced Christ as the Passover. Aaron and his sons, now as the priests, they had experienced the Passover. Later in the wilderness, as God was bringing them through, they experienced the flowing water out of the rock. They experienced manna, the bread, come down from heaven. Yet, for them to be qualified to be the priests, they needed a further experience. How about us, Dick? In a sense, we've been saved, and we've come through the Passover, and likely we've enjoyed the living water, and we've enjoyed our spiritual manna. What qualifications are there yet for us in order to really enter into this function as the priests?
I like what you brought out, Chris, that yes, the children of Israel had experienced the Passover and the manna and living water. But still, when they got to Mount Sinai and they're under the Lord's infusion, the Lord said at that time, sanctify some of the people to serve as priests. What does this mean? This means to us that we can't be satisfied just with Passover, just with eating manna, or just with drinking living water. We need to be those who go further in our experience of Christ so that we could be priests. Now, at that time, he said, sanctify some. But in the New Testament, he's made us all priests. He's recovered us to the universal priesthood. But it shows that to be a priest is to experience Christ beyond just these basic experiences. I was considering this way, Chris, that we are not here just for our own need to be met, but we're all together here for God's eternal purpose to be fulfilled. That is, that he would have a group of people who are saturated with Christ to the extent that they live Christ and magnify Christ and express Christ as the body of Christ. So as you look at these initial experiences of the Passover and the manna and drinking the water, mostly they're to meet our need. But when the Lord introduced the priesthood in Exodus 29, now he's to the point where he opens his heart to us, telling us, I have a need. I want to be satisfied. I want you to be a priest who not only is satisfied yourself, but would be full of Christ that you could offer to God as so many spiritual sacrifices. So God's desire is that we would be priests who are filled with Christ, our hands are full of Christ, and we would be always offering up spiritual sacrifices. The first spiritual sacrifice is that every day we would offer Christ to God as our offerings. He's the reality of the sin offering, and he's the reality of the trespass offering and the burnt offering. Only Christ is absolute for God. Only Christ can satisfy God. In Matthew 17, you can see very clearly God was very disturbed if anything or anyone was mentioned or presented other than Christ. God only is happy with this marvelous spiritual sacrifice. Secondly, we offer up sinners to God who have been infused with Christ through the speaking of the gospel so that they could be the members of Christ. And we offer our bodies, it says in Romans 12:1. Mm-hmm. And we present ourselves to the Lord for his satisfaction, and we offer up praises.
Amen.
All the time when we say, praise the Lord, even we open our being to the Lord to praise him. This is a sacrifice of Christ flowing through our being to satisfy God. May we be the priests who enjoy not only the basic experiences of Christ, but are saturated with Christ to the point where we meet God's need.
Yeah. That's wonderful that we could have offerings that really are Christ and really are satisfying to God.
Amen.
Who would have thought such sinners would be able to satisfy God with what they can offer up of Christ?
That is amazing. So when you preach the gospel to someone and they receive Christ, right away they become a sweet fragrance to God because Christ is in them.
Mm. Dick, we have a very precious portion remaining, a short one of Witness Lee. Let's go back to him now.
The precious names in this chapter, chapter 29 of Exodus, is the way by which we can know today we can be a practical priest. Now, what is the way? The way is to wash you. After being washed, you have to be clothed, to cover all your nakedness. Nakedness signifies the appearance of our sinful, ugly, natural being. I don't care how good, how nice you were born. As long as you are a descendant of Adam, your appearance before God is just nakedness in the eyes of God. When Adam and Eve got fallen, they began to realize they were naked. The first thing they did was to cover their nakedness. So, to clothe Aaron and his sons is to cover the natural appearance of our natural being. The first cattle, the bull, was offered to God as a sin offering. A sin offering should always remind us of our sinful nature. Today, as long as you are a person, you don't need to commit anything. As long as you are born a descendant of Adam, you must realize your nature is sinful. Not only so, your nature is sin. We always think about ourselves. Very good. This is the problem. How could we be priests practically to serve God while we are still thinking that we are so good? The natural good is more sinful than the natural evil. Your humility, naturally speaking, is worse than your pride. Oh, for us to be a practical priest, we need to have Christ experienced as the sin offering to remind us all the day long that we who are going to be priests of God are nothing by myself, just sin. Amen. If you stand on this understanding, this will protect you. And this will preserve you.
Dick, Exodus 29 tells us of the sin offering. You referred to it just a few minutes ago. Verse 10 says, "And you shall present the bullock before the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bullock. And you shall slaughter the bullock before Jehovah at the entrance of the tent of meeting. It is a sin offering." Dick, the priests needed to participate in this offering for sin, regardless of whether or not they had recently sinned. It's interesting, I think. The question of whether they had sinned is not asked here. It's just presumed that they need an offering for sin. What does this indicate, Dick, about our own need of a sin offering?
This indicates, Chris, that no matter what we think about ourselves, in God's eyes, we are nothing but sin. And we need Christ constantly, unceasingly, as our sin offering. Every day, it is one of the sweetest and most enjoyable experiences of Christ to lay your hands on Him by calling on Him and just saying, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I take You right now as my sin offering. You're my real bull. You're my real lamb. Without You, I just remain a constitution of sin. But through You, my sin is taken away." Sometimes we may think we're pretty good, but you know what the Lord says about us? In Isaiah it says, "Even all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." That means they stink. And this means our actions, our everything apart from Christ, just is abominable to God. We need Christ as our sin offering. Otherwise, we're just in our quote-unquote natural good self, but we are a constitution of sin. So we need to enjoy Christ according to what Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." He was the unique offering. May we enjoy Him every day by calling on His name and taking Him for what we are. What are we? We're sin. Nobody, as long as they're in the flesh, can say they are not sin. And all the time we commit sins. So we need Him as the trespass offering, that we may continue in our fellowship with God and be a person whose hands are full of Christ to satisfy God and even to supply man with the Christ that they need for God's economy. Every day, according to Exodus 29, we must enjoy Christ as the sin offering. Lay your hands on His beautiful head, and this will be a protection and a preservation to you to serve God as a priest for eternity.
Dick, after a very enjoyable time together, a fitting way to conclude this program, this fellowship on the sin offering. Very enjoyable. I wish we had more time. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome, brother.
And please join us again for another life study from the book of Exodus. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. You can now enjoy titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Visit lsm.org/epublications to find all that Living Stream has available. We support Kindle, Nook, iSilo, and EPUB formats, which means you can enjoy this ministry on all kinds of PC and Mac devices. Many of our publications are also available on Amazon.com and at iTunes. But to see everything we have to offer, visit our website at lsm.org/epublications. Thanks for listening today.